All right, Ari, let me take you back to $1 today. Todd Bowles and the rest of his assistants spent 5.7 hours asking all the questions. So many assistants, Ira. I'm exaggerating, but gosh. Anyway, Todd Bowles, very well schooled in the New York media all those years with Jets head coach under fire. Talks a lot, doesn't say much, and he didn't say much today. But what he did say when asked if he wants Gerald McCoy on his roster, not will he be here, all this other stuff, would he like him on the roster? Bowles says that's above my pay grade. Your reaction?
Well, it was a theme that ran through all those defensive coaches. I think I was the one that first brought up the McCoy question to Todd Bowles. I thought it would be one of the first questions. It wasn't. When it wasn't answered 10 minutes in, I decided I got to weigh in.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to talk about Gerald McCoy, Lee. Nobody wants to talk about him. And their way of answering is either it's above their pay grade or I coach the guys that are here. Lee, I thought it was very telling that Bowles has not spoken to McCoy in recent times, has not spoken to him. They got to get this cleared up, Lee. Either you want this guy on your team or you don't. I mean, I think, you know, they're planning on, you know, alignments and way to use personnel. And if McCoy's here, he's going to be a big part of it if he's here. They got to get this cleaned up, Lee. And I got a feeling it's going to be cleaned up shortly.
I'm going to throw something at you here, Ira. Now, Dominic has gone on record. Mark Dominic, former Bucks Rockstar general manager. He's gone on record right before the draft. He says, this smells like Gerald McCoy is coming back. He goes, I just believe he's coming back. Chris Sims, former quarterback, he gave his spleen to this team on Florio's show. He co-hosts Florio's show. He said yesterday morning, I just can't believe they're going to let McCoy go.
And somebody told me yesterday that's been involved with this organization and said, I think McCoy is going to be on this team.
Given that information, do you think this is just some kind of weird, bizarre, choreographed effort to light a fire under McCoy? Like if he's brought back, he goes, I'll show these SOBs, those blankety blanks treat me like this. They claim I can't play a three-man front. I'll show the MFers, blah, blah, blah. Do you think this is just some weird choreographed effort to light a fire under him?
Well, if that's the case, Lee, it's a tactic that could backfire because you could also lose the guy mentally. And if I'm McCoy, I'm thinking, hey, I got a coach who says I'm not the player I was 4 years ago. I think I'm in my prime. I mean, that's Gerald McCoy thinking. You got to think that way as a player. I'm not 38 years old, and I think I'm hitting my prime. And this guy says my prime's in the rearview mirror 4 years ago. And we talked about Arians when he said that. I was a little taken aback. Lee, I'm not saying he's gone, but they sure have a funny way of saying he's wanted, if that's the case.
Well, here's what the weird thing is. All this, I'm not going to call it negative, but the slant is negative. It's not positive. That's doing nothing for his trade value. Absolutely nothing. So, I mean, are they that, are the Bucks that, naive isn't the word, stupid isn't the word, are ballsy to blow up the guy's trade value? And for what reason, I don't know, because he's been nothing but a good soldier here. It just something doesn't add up.
Steve,
here.
I haven't heard anything from the Bucks saying that the report from the Canton newspaper regarding McCoy's availability, I haven't heard anything that says that's a false report. Nothing could be further than from the truth. If you had a guy that you really knew was going to be on your roster heading into training camp, you'd shoot down that report, Steve, I would think.
Yeah, we at Joe Bucks Fan, we've written it three different ways, that report out of Ohio, and nobody's texted me to say, hey, it's a bunch of crap, leave it alone, or here's why it's a bunch of crap. I don't think Lee's gotten that text either.
And by the way, the same day that we started running stories about that report, I was getting texts from certain people in this building about different stories. So it's not like they haven't communicated with
them. All we get now is McCoy's on the roster. McCoy's on the roster. Okay, we can read that. We can read that.
Yeah, as far as the plan or the grand plan or what, whether they're trying to motivate him or they're trying to get him to renegotiate or they're trying to scare him into thinking that they might keep him all the way through training camp and then make him a salary cap cut late in case Vita Vea doesn't get hurt. I don't know. It's odd because such a simple question to Todd Bowles, where to me it's very simple to say every team in the NFL would love to have Gerald McCoy. That's the only answer he has
He's
to give.
He's a heck of a player.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want him? That
right,
kind of thing. Yeah.
That helps his trade value. That
makes him feel better.
Makes everybody feel good. And frankly, it's an honest answer. Now, not everybody would want to pay Gerald McCoy $13 million or $10 or $8.
Understood.
But every team, he's not the worst defensive tackle on every team in this league. So I don't know why they're not going there. It's odd. Maybe we'll get an answer one day, but I doubt it.
Todd Bowles wouldn't even say if he wanted the former Pro Bowler as a backup. Think about that. Wouldn't even go that far.
And hasn't spoken to him. That kind of, I can't get over that one.
Well, I asked him. Does he have a playbook? Are you monitoring whether he's watching
right.
film?
Right.
All that stuff. He's like, I didn't want to go there.
Yeah. Bowles, very clipped answers, Lee. Very mm-hmm. clipped.
No wonder New York media didn't like
know,
him.
He knows what Arians wants to hear and read from these transcripts. He's smart. but at the same time, Steve, I'm going to throw a feather Bowles' way because it's something – guys that came through, all the assistants that followed in the wake of Bowles at the podium, and I think it's important. If it's true, what's the message? Bowles will put our guys in the best position to succeed.
What are they going to say? We're going to make sure that people get 20-yard runs?
But Lee, that's got to crawl under your skin because you don't think that the former regime did that.
No. No, but
you've
I don't.
You've been very consistent about that.
Oh yeah, but I don't expect any coaching staff, no matter how incompetent they may be. Like, yeah, we want to make sure guys complete 15-yard passes on us.
But they say Bowles has a reputation of doing that. He has a track record
of
putting players in position to succeed.
I'll let Steve talk about that because Steve used to be a Jets fan. He still monitors the Jets from time to time. I just know that I've talked to New York media, and I consistently get the following. Don't look at Todd Bowles' results as an indictment on him. He was given rotten players to work with. I don't know about that, but I'll let Steve talk with a little more authority on that.
Well, Casey Rogers, who the Bucs defensive line coach, another guy we met today, he was the Jets defensive coordinator last year under Bowles, and he was there for years as Bowles' defensive coordinator. I thought it was very interesting to hear Rogers today say Bowles was very heavy-handed in the defense, and he went out of his way to say that, and that was going to be one of my questions. Somebody beat me to it as to, you know, your role, Mr. Rogers, in the defense last year and maybe how it's different. And I think you asked.
And you heard me ask Bowles whether he's going to be more involved.
And he said about twice as involved with the defense. But, you might have thought he would have said 5 times, 10 times more. He had a heavy hand in a garbage defense last year. The Jets allowed 30 points a game over the last 10 games. That's not a coincidence. It's not a joke. That's his defense.
And there was some talent on that defense.
Sure.
The line, they had talent.
Yeah, there was talent. It didn't work. That all-pro safety didn't work. So what I thought, we all have to wait and see. But, yeah, that was a theme, Ira, that Bowles focuses on that so heavily, putting guys where they can succeed. Which I'll say at least I agree with Lee that, hey, what coach doesn't say that? But you know what? Coach my scheme, Lovey, he didn't say that kind of thing. Dirk Cutter was just Mike Smith was just all about,
this is the way we're going to play.
His off coverage and his, and even Bruce Arians, when I asked him about Mike Smith at the owners meetings, he sort of said, well, Mike Smith's doing his off coverage thing for a lot of years. And, you know, the coaches have their ways. It seems like Bowles is more flexible than most.
That, I think that's the key word, Lee, flexibility. I think that is the big word with Bowles. Lee, did it jar you a little bit out of your seat?
Jar.
And for something to knock you out of your seat, it takes a hell of a wallop.
Well, I'll tell you what knocked out of my seat later.
Hold on, Lee. But tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think I asked a question about press coverage with Hargraves and Davis and how much they're going to enjoy it and this and that and whether they'll succeed at it. And didn't Bowles say, wait a minute. We're going to play back. We're going to play press. We're going to mix it up. I thought this was an aggressive press coverage scheme, Lee. Am I reading too much into this?
If you
say Hargraves 9 yards back, you will be screaming from the press box to Kemper.
Well, I won't be screaming as much as what some people think, but Could it possibly be that some teams don't fare well in a zone, and so Bowles will have them play in a zone? I think that's fair to suggest. The biggest feedback for that
takeaway. Your takeaway.
Takeaway. There we go. That's why you have such a good vocabulary. Nobody has I've never met anyone with a better vocabulary than yours.
You
pull out these words every once in a while. Like, you know, I have to run to a dictionary. At any rate, the linebackers coach, Mike Caldwell. I asked him, and I definitely had Lovie Smith on the brain when I asked him this. You know, he's talking about, oh, you got to force turnovers, you got to force turnovers, takeaways, turnovers. And that's always a pet peeve of mine. I said, Coach, is there a fine line between sloppy tackling because you're so focused on turnovers? And he basically said, you got to tackle first.
The second guy comes in.
Yeah,
boom.
And I'm like, thank you. Tackle first, turnover later.
And Lee, the other part of that, Stevie, is, you know, swarming to the ball. Was a big, big thing for Kiffin all those years. Swarm. No loaf. Swarm. We haven't seen a lot of that.
No.
It's been a big part of the problem around here on the defensive side is one juke and the guy gets past the first guy and then you see a lot of open field. Steve, where's the swarm? Bring back the swarm.
Well, that's what I'm hoping to see. Larry Foote, former Steelers linebacker, he's coaching linebackers with the Bucks now. And I never forget this. It was a Monday night game. John Madden was calling it. I can't remember the Steelers and the Bucks. I want to say it was the Bucks. And he started talking about Monty Kiffin, and he invoked Dick LeBeau. He said, there's two defensive coaches that you know when you watch them, you know you're going to get tackling, and you know you're going to get gang tackling. He goes, Monty Kiffin and Dick LeBeau. He said, they're by far the best. He goes, they're the two best coaches as far as tackling goes. And I hope Larry Foote, that rubs off on him and thus rubs off on the rest of the defense. Exactly what you're talking about. Swarming to the ball and good tackling.
And Lee, you know what helps in that regard, Stevie? Speed.
And yes.
Defensive speed has been upgraded on this football team.
Yeah, in a big way. And if the coach is downplayed, Bowles downplayed a desire for more speed, they're just, you know, picking off the draft board, you know, kind of thing.
By the way, Mike Caldwell, I love what he said. Wrap up as far as tackling.
Wrap up, baby.
Wrap up. Music to my ears.
Yeah, the way he phrased it was nice. Tackle first. The second guy is the one who rips the ball out, which wasn't the Lovie Smith way.
That's because there wasn't a second guy.
The Lovie Smith way was drag Mike Jenkins 7 yards for a first down and move the chains.
All right, now we're going to get to back to the draft and Devin White, but wanted to throw one thing out at you, Ira, because it was so shocking on two levels. One, so
and you're not easily shocked, Steve. You're not.
Well, I mean, we're Bucks fans. We're shocked and stunned by all these weird things that always happen. It's just the way of the world.
The way of the Bucks.
So. The coaches largely were rather boring, Ira, until safeties coach Nick Rapone walks up to the podium. Now, this guy is beautiful. Beautiful. Right out of a gangster movie. It was his appearance.
Instant soundbite. Beautiful.
Instant soundbite. He just kept rolling and rolling, and he probably will never be heard from again because of all the stuff he revealed. I even had...
He's 62. He's got a wealth of knowledge, man, and he doesn't mind imparting it.
Somebody from the Bucks joked to us afterwards saying I didn't realize we injected him with truth serum once before we put him out there. But
shouldn't everybody be like that guy?
Yes, they should.
On our side of the fence, damn right. On their side of the fence, hell no.
Hell no.
Yeah, because, you know, tight-lipped coaches is what's win games.
We haven't seen this since Todd Monken, gentlemen. Todd Monken.
And we know he wasn't popular with the media relations staff.
You're right.
Because
they put the muzzle on him.
Yeah.
They
muzzled him.
Shut down. Yeah, that's chapter 11 in the book.
That's
well,
right.
I think I could say this. One time I was talking to Todd away from one buck, and he told me something I never have written before, and I probably never will. Because
is that when you stalked him at a high school game at the Kemper?
Yeah. To me, it's sacrosanct. Off the record's off the record. And he's telling me something that was rather flammable, very flammable. And I said, hey, Todd, this is off the record. He goes, I don't give up. And you fill in the blank.
All right. So Rapone gets up there. And he talks, at first he talks about the rookie safety, the late third round pick.
What's this guy's name, Steve? Rapone?
What? Repahanic?
Rapone, you said.
Yeah.
Shouldn't
yeah.
it be like...
I'm going to edit through here. What's right. the... I thought you were asking me the safety's name.
No, yeah. No. But the coach, name Rapone,
Nick,
right?
Nick Rapone, yeah.
Shouldn't... Can't you see a...
We're off now. Hold this.
Well,
hold
put me back on because I got something.
The safety's name, that Edwards, right? They drafted in the fourth round? Edwards. Okay.
Mike Edwards?
Edwards, I know.
Yeah.
All right. So, Ira... Okay,
this guy...
Here we go.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Steve, you're fascinated by this guy, Rapone. Can't you just see a sign hanging up on a shingle? Rapone's Pizza, you know, two slices and a soda, $4.95. I mean, it's beautiful.
What was it? What was the sandwich shop that fronted the Sopranos?
Sacks Reali's, I believe.
Yeah.
Ira, all these stereotypes. Come on.
I understand. Come on. I understand.
All right. So he gets up there, and he's talking about this rookie, Edwards, late third-round pick, basically says that he's everything that they want in a safety. They believe he's cerebral.
Boy, did he check off the boxes, Steve.
He painted that guy as if they looking to him to be a starter. Did you get that vibe?
Well, you could not get that vibe. Now, you know, Mr. Whitehead might have something to say. I assume Evans is going to be a starting safety. If Jason Light's got anything to say about it.
I hope.
And I don't know that he does.
I hope they're not going to start a guy just because of where he was drafted. Shouldn't you earn it?
Boy, they're asking a lot out of these safeties. And asking a lot out of the nickel corner, who's going to play 70% of the time and supposed to be a blitzer.
I'll sum it up for you, Ira. They're asking a hell of a lot from a bunch of rookies.
Yeah.
Ira, so I thought that was very interesting. I asked him if he had anybody else in that mold of the rookie out of Kentucky. And he said Justin Evans, well, he's great in the classroom so far because he's hurt. He's not on the field, but, you know, yeah, he just sort of left it at that. But here's the thing.
Hold on. No, you're not going any further getting that past me. Is it ominous that Justin Evans hasn't recovered from a toe injury? Is it a little
that
ominous?
That could be, but I've got nothing. I like Justin Evans a lot. He's never turned me down for interview quests. Never, ever. And he has thoughtful answers. I like him a lot. I want him to succeed.
Neither has Annie Sabo turned you down for an interview. But that doesn't mean she can wrap up and punch the ball out of a ball carrier.
And you're mocking him for going blue.
I am.
And she's appalled that you would say she doesn't turn me down for anything.
She loves this podcast. Now, what point were you trying to make over here about Justin Evans?
You know, everybody listening is in a ditch right now. They just is running to a ditch.
You may continue, in the words of Mad Dog
Russo. You've got me flustered now.
No, you were talking about Justin Evans and the safety position. They are asking a lot.
And I don't think he's going out with Annie Sabo.
This is a very young secondary, Lee. Very, very young. They don't have a mentor. They don't have a mentor.
That's a pet peeve of mine. Isn't that what a coach is supposed to be? You know, people go, oh, this guy's a mentor. This guy. I just want to cuss. No. That's what a coach is for. If you got to have someone babysit you, get the hell out of the league.
But, Steve, your relationships with your teammates are not the same as your relationships
with
your coaches.
That's a whole different animal than men.
I understand.
That drives me nuts.
Yeah, and we're going to hear a lot of that, though, because Arians is very big on mentors and leaders in each room and assigning top guys to run the show.
Well, then these quote-unquote leaders, and again, I invoked the quote from Jack Ham, it's rhetoric, then these leaders ought to be thrown off the team if their comrades, their brethren, their little brothers are doing lousy. If a coach is responsible and you're going to put that responsibility on a player, he's a player, he's not a coach, then the same thing ought to happen.
You're a betting man, Steve. You're a betting man. Who's going to emerge in the defensive backs room as sort of the leader? Who would you put money on?
Dan Cilio.
It's too early. Too early for that. But, Ira, let me keep you on point here to answer your question. Yes, May 1st. Justin Evans isn't cleared to practice from a toe that it messed him up in November. A toe? That's
toe injuries, you know, are not to be underestimated.
Well, didn't it pretty much throw water on the gas of Deion Sanders' career?
Yeah. I mean, you know, but Steve, I make the point.
It's concerning.
He's not ready.
Carl Nix.
Doesn't mean he won't play 16 games this year, but it is concerning to have that big of a toe injury where you can't run around in shorts. To be cleared for that,
Steve. Speaking of DBs, what'd you guys get out of this dissertation, sort of, on MJ Stewart? Does MJ Stewart have the inside track?
I don't know.
Let me read it. Let me read it for the folks who didn't see it. There's a lot been coming out on our site, and if they've been bothering to watch videos.
I mean, MJ Stewart must be wondering, what the heck's going on? Where do I fit in over here?
I wanted to know what the heck's going on with MJ Stewart.
So at the Combine, Jason Light said that MJ Stewart was a safety. That's what he said at the Combine podium.
Right to my face.
Drafted as a corner.
Their first second-round pick of last year. Okay, so we're going with that. Now, Mr. Rapone gets up there, and I'm going to read you the quotes here because they're so shocking. We don't always read quotes here, but these were shocking. I typed them up myself. I had to hear them a couple of times. Verbatim. All right, here we go. We're going to attempt to put MJ Stewart at nickel position and then play him some free safety. MJ's never played safety, so it's going to be a learning process. Okay, we get it. I'm going to try him out at nickel. But remember, the coaches here have said they don't have a nickel. So right now, MJ Stewart's a nickel, and I believe Bowles said that too. Right now, he's at nickel, and we'll go from there. Well, Mr. Rapone expanded, and this is a shocker, and this ties to Devin White, who we're going to get to next. Rapone says, quote, "In our system, the number one person that blitzes is the nickel. He is a physical player. He was a rookie," referring to Stewart. "There is a learning curve. Our nickels have to blitz. Our nickels have to play man-to-man. He has the innate skills to play man-to-man. He's physical enough to blitz. So we're basing it on what he can do based on what we saw." Then Stewart was asked, well, does he have the speed, the quick twitch?
You mean Rapone
was asked, does Stewart have the speed, the quick twitch to do this?
And then said, not as a corner.
Rapone got candid, which is why we're not going to see him again. I'm treasuring this day, Ira. He says, does he have the speed was the question. Quote, "enough of it at the nickel, not at cornerback, but at the nickel." Because remember, the nickel a lot of times is the guy that's protected, meaning other players are around.
Where and the outside guy's a guy on an island.
Right. And you can always double with the nickel, but that nickel also has to play run support. Stewart's a very good special teams player. He's a physical kid. And the nickel and air scheme has to be physical, not finesse. Continuing the quote, "like the honey badger, everybody talks about him. He was physical. He would throw his body around. We are looking at MJ as the same type of player." Ira, what's going on here? What do you make of that?
Well, maybe they're seeing stuff I didn't see. I don't know what kind of film they've been looking at over there, Lee, but I didn't see.
They're looking at the film that we can't talk about on this.
I didn't see enough out of MJ Stewart to make a statement where the guy can play man-to-man coverage, Lee. I didn't see what he did to justify that statement.
If that's true, I don't know if it's true or not, but if that's true, innate, the quote, the word innate.
That's one of my words.
Innate ability to play man-to-man. Get those lunkheads last year had him in a zone. What more do you need to say?
Well, he's saying he could play man at nickel. Because he said he can't play outside. He's not fast enough.
Right.
The whole thing doesn't make any sense, Ira. You just drafted two speed corners, and now you're looking at MJ.
I don't think Stewart's going to win the nickel job, Lee. I don't think he's going to win it. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But I don't think he's going to win it. I'm not sure he's got that kind of skill set, Lee. They're asking that player to be extremely versatile. Extremely versatile.
Well, you know, last year they acted like Vernon Hargraves could have made the Pro Bowl the way he was a nickel corner, and all of a sudden he gets hurt right away. So
now we've got so much material that we can hit on multiple podcasts coming up this month.
We know what Buck fans have been waiting for on this podcast.
Exactly, we do. Now, I do not believe that Rapone is lying. Okay, he spent 5 years in the NFL. Previously, he was a college coach. All 5 years under Arians, and he was there with Bowles. So this is an Arians guy, a Bowles guy. He goes back to Temple. You know, as he told everybody, I'm 62 years old. These are all kids and all that stuff. So Rapone told us, and I don't think this is a misinterpretation, the nickel is our top blitzer. So we just drafted Devin White 5 overall. Now, I understand that we might be sending two guys quite a bit, but if the nickel's the top blitzer, I don't know if things are going to change, Ira, after they get a look at Devin White, but the Devin White pick, let's reflect back on it a little bit. Lee's here. We all want to know what Lee felt in the moment of the pick, the aftermath. We get that Lee likes Devin White. It's hard not to like him as a person, and he seems like he'll be a good football player. But Lee, you have the floor.
Oh, boy.
Where was your mind on draft night and the next day and 2 days later? Your draft reactions, everyone's waiting to
hear. Well, I have nothing against Devin White in any way, shape, or form. In fact, when Light said, oh, you know, he's raving about his personality, I'm like, you drafted a guy for personality at number 5. Are you serious? But Light was dead on. The first time I met him, He reminded me in a good way. I emphasize good way. He reminded me in a good way. Warren Sapp. And I had, there are a lot of readers on Twitter, oh, he reminded me of Derek Brooks. He didn't sound anything like Derek Brooks. Not even a word like Derek Brooks. He reminded me of Sapp because he's a motor mouth. You ask him a question, it takes 5 minutes to answer. That's Sapp in a good way. When Sapp was in a good mood, you ask him a question, man, he rolled. He rolled, and the enthusiasm just jumped off his chest. That's what reminded me of Sapp. Brooks has never been that way. Brooks is reserved. He speaks with a measured tone, doesn't get excited. That it didn't remind me of Brooks. The only thing that reminded me of Brooks was he's a nice guy. That had nothing to do with the way he talked. He's a nice guy. Brooks is a nice guy. Everything else reminded me of
What was your visceral reaction when you heard Devin White?
I thought the draft couldn't have played out any better for the Bucks. Jason Allen, Ed Oliver are sitting there.
The quarterback goes number one. Josh Allen. Like that?
Yeah. Or Josh Allen, what'd I say?
And then the Raiders make that crazy pick.
Did I say Jared Allen?
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the Raiders pick.
Chucky went Chucky.
Raiders do what the Raiders do.
Yeah, Chucky. And I'm like, this could not have been, the table couldn't have been set any neater for the Bucks.
And you would have been okay with Oliver at that point.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm standing next to Cummings. Cummings is sitting on Roy Cummings. And he was shocked when I said, as soon as I heard the word Devin, I said, they blew it.
You didn't waste any time.
They blew it. They blew it. I have no doubt Devin White's going to be a good player. He may be in Canton, and I hope he is. I cannot ever remember the Bucks. Maybe for 20-some years, the stars were aligned. They had a chance to pick a pass rusher. I mean, everything aligned for them. Everything was set up for them. This happens once every 20 years, maybe. And they blew it. Because they had their mind made up before the freaking draft started. I got a problem with that. I have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Devin White at all. I hope he winds up in Canton. I have a problem with you already decided who you're going to pick come hell or high water before the draft. Now, what's kind of funny about that, in a way, Chucky told Devin White the exact same thing that Arians told him. And, of course, Chucky being Chucky was full of it. Arians was true to his word. And you could tell to this You could tell White, he'll run through a wall for Arians because Chucky lied to him. Arians kept his word.
Steve, may I ask our esteemed colleague the million-dollar question? Steve, may I?
Please.
Lee, what if the Bucks, from the scouting department all the way up to Arians and Bowles and Light, all had a significantly higher grade on Devin White than anybody else that was still available on the draft board? What if that's the case? Shouldn't they have taken Devin White?
No. You could say that Jason Light had a high grade on Roberto Aguayo. That's why he traded up in the second round to get him. Was that smart?
But I mean, as a draft prospect, if he had White at 6.8
the only way
and
this...
Allen at 6.1... Can you knock the Bucks for taking White?
Yes, I can knock the Bucks for that. There isn't a linebacker, a middle linebacker alive, an inside linebacker alive that can make a difference like a pass rusher.
Didn't they have a need for a linebacker, Lee?
They had a bigger need for pass rusher because you
let it rip, Lee. Let it rip.
Jiminy Christmas. And by the way, I listened to your podcast. You yourself said they should have got a pass rusher. So don't you're trying to set me up here. Don't con me.
All things being equal.
Okay, the only way all things be don't get me going. The only way they're going to be able to get a pass rusher of these guys' talents, they're going to have to trade 2 first-round picks or they're going to have to spend $20 million in free agency. That's the only way. It was there for the taking. Does Gilbrandt know how to build a team?
He's in the Hall of Fame.
You damn right. He has said his own words this week, 3 most important players on a football team. Number 1, pass rusher. Number 2, quarterback. Number 3, left tackle.
He's got a pass rusher over a quarterback?
Yes.
I might take my vote
Lewis,
out.
Lewis Riddick. Lewis Riddick.
I want Brent's bust out of Canton after that.
Lewis Riddick. Only got, you know his resume. He said the way NFL offenses are now, and you always talk about this, and the way they throw flags right and left on cornerbacks, the only way to stop a team is get to the quarterback.
Lee, I can't argue with anything you say, but Steve,
well, there you go.
Steve, I'm going back to the same point. I'm going to say it again. What if they didn't look at Josh Allen and Oliver the way you do? What if they didn't?
Okay. A couple years ago when they drafted Jameis.
You can't still take the guy because...
A couple years ago when they drafted Jameis. No question they needed a quarterback. You would have been okay with them drafting a middle linebacker if he was graded over Jameis. Seriously? Seriously?
Quarterback's a different story.
No. They needed a quarterback. You seriously would have drafted an inside linebacker over a quarterback, even though they needed a quarterback because he got a higher grade.
No.
Premise is a higher grade.
No. Not all the time. If you think, if you need a quarterback, which they did.
Yes.
And going into 2015, and you think Winston's the man, you take him.
And that's what my point is right now. There isn't an inside linebacker alive that's more valuable than a pass rusher. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say this, Steve, and I don't think this is outrageous, Lee. I don't think you do either. You're never going to hear this from Arians. You're never going to hear this from Light, unless you get a couple of beers into both of them. But the only way I can look at this is that I think they had White as the third highest ranked player on the board after Bosa and Quinnen Williams.
Well, I think they had him. Their mind was made up before the draft period. So the way I took it.
I don't know that they take him over Quinnen Williams. I don't know that.
Arians told him he was going to take him. If he's there, we're taking him.
The coach told him.
I just said if Quinnen Williams was there.
Well, he didn't qualify.
That's a different story.
He did not qualify his statement to the kid.
You just said if
Arians said to White, if you're there,
I'm taking it. He didn't qualify it. So essentially, if Bosa and Quinnen Williams somehow or another would have wound up there at five, he still would have taken Devin White.
I don't believe it. I don't believe that.
So you think Arians lied to the kid?
I think he did a Chucky.
He did a Chucky. This is the last thing I'm going to say about Devin White. Again, I hope he's in the Hall of Fame with the Bucs. I hope he has rings on his finger. Super Bowl rings, not wedding rings.
Your thing is about virtue of the position.
Damn right.
Yeah.
And Bruce Arians like, well, people don't. Well, first he said value position is BS. He didn't use the term BS. He said it to me.
Edit that out.
I don't want that burp on it. Arians said to me, the day when they introduced White, said to me, the value stuff was BS, but he didn't say BS. He didn't use the term. He said the word. If any inside linebacker, I don't care what his name is, can get to the quarterback the way a defensive end or defensive tackle would, they wouldn't have him at linebacker. He'd be already on the freaking line rushing the quarterback for two reasons. One, he can get more chances, number one. Number two, he'd make more money. And unless, Bruce Arians, well, they don't know how many times we're going to blitz. So you're going to blitz the guy 30 times a game? Seriously?
Sage, one thing that came up today with the defensive coaches.
Nicely done, Lee. Nicely done.
Oh, thank you.
One thing that came up with the defensive coaches is, first of all, Rapone, the safeties coach, said on third down, we're typically going to have seven defensive backs on the field. He also said our defense runs through the safety. Play calls, checks, everything else. Matthew, he talked about the veteran safety that Arizona just had who left Bethea. And
Lynch used to do that for the Bucs.
Correct. Now, if veteran safety and the savvy and all that, if safety was running the defense, which is what the guy told us, he's coaches the defense. I can't emphasize that enough.
Now, you don't have a veteran safety.
Why didn't they go after Matthew in free agency and just spend whatever it took to get him, since he is the guy? And two, what's going on here? They just drafted a guy who the coaches just sort of said is not the most important player in their defense. It's odd, Ira. It's odd. We want success for the guy. We want Bowles to adjust. Look, maybe Bowles looks at this personnel and says, we got to go back to 4-3, and we can't press with these corners. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that's odd, and I hate to throw DeKemper even a crumb. Uh-oh. In this episode, but I'm going to. Guys, didn't Arians say, you draft for need, you get fired? Didn't he say that?
He backtracked the day later.
Now, wait a minute. He said it, and then on draft night, on Friday, they drafted three straight defensive backs. Are you going to tell me those are the three highest-ranked players they had, regardless of position, that were still available? I don't believe
Bunting
that.
Maybe.
Neither do you.
Bunting, maybe. Maybe Bunting.
Absolutely, Ira. Come on. You know that They just follow their board. They just drafted by slot, and they got lucky.
And Steve's got a big smile on his face while he's saying that.
So that's a crumb in the Kemper's camp because, you know, they were going to draft. They thought the linebacker was the need, and then they drafted.
You know, Arians bounced back and forth between that, so I don't know what to believe there.
When did he backtrack the next day?
Well, the exact same conversation when he said that value BS, and he didn't use the word, not the term BS. And he said when value meets need or need meets value or something.
Yeah, Ira, look, the kicker, the only reason they drafted him is because that's where he was on their board, Ira. They, you know, that's the deal.
And Light said he's the highest graded kicker he ever had. You're talking about the fifth round, which I don't have an issue with, believe it or not. I not like Steve. I could. We'll get to that in a second. And what hacked me off more about the draft, because I was pretty much resigned to the fact they were going draft White. So I had braced myself. I had steeled myself that they were going to draft Devin White. Still hacked me off, but I wasn't as hacked off as I was 2 or 3 weeks ago. To use your term, falling out of a seat. When it came to the third round, you know, Saturday night. Was it Saturday? No, Friday night. Third round pick. You know, okay, the best draft in maybe a decade for defensive linemen. You thumb your nose at it. I don't think that's intelligent anyway, but they did it. What are you going to do? All right, well, you still need a running back. Here's the third round. Only one or two running backs had gone off the board by that time. Man, a lot of good running backs. Here we go.
Last few years, a bunch of good running backs have been found in the third round. A bunch of them.
And I'm thinking, all right, here we go. Darrell Henderson. Is it Darrell? Darrell?
Yep.
Henderson from Miami. Memphis.
Yep.
He's on the board.
Here he comes.
And they freaking trade down with Rams. Okay, this is bad. They're trading down. Still, there hasn't been a real run on running backs yet. The very spot they vacated with the Rams, what do the Rams do? They get Henderson. And at that point, I literally threw my arms up in the air, and I said to myself, I'm done.
That's two I'm done's in 2 days over there.
I'm like, I'm done. I have no clue what they are doing. I have no idea what they're doing. This draft has no logic whatsoever.
What killed me about that, Ira, and I agree with Lee there, you know, Jason, look, I still believe, no doubt, Bruce Arians ran this draft. It's his draft, his call. Look, Jason Light drafted running backs the last 2 years. They didn't work out. You don't draft one this year. That's
And Bowles was his sidekick on draft night.
Yeah. But, you know, you just think of it that way. Okay, we drafted a running back. Neither has worked out. And now we're not going to draft one. How is that building toward this running game you desperately need? But And they didn't touch it in free agency and all that. But I had to calm myself a little bit, take some deep breaths, put my feet up, relax a little bit. And I waited for a while, but I'm like, all right, I have to listen to Les Snead, his post-draft interview. He's the Rams GM on Sirius because he's going to talk about that third round trade up or that deal. And there's Snead. Oh, he is just so excited that they were able to get the guy, Sean McVay, the guy everybody is trying to clone in this coaching universe. They were able to get Henderson with that deal for the Bucs, talking about how he can play slot receiver and his hands are so good and he's so explosive.
So he was the target. Henderson
traded up and drafted him. So, yeah, there's your answer. He was the target.
Yeah.
And which we don't need to be brain surgeons to figure out, okay, they traded 2 picks up with the Bucs. Let's get our guy. That was their guy. And here we are. We didn't get a running back. Doesn't mean the Rams made the right move, but, man, that is just a kick in the groin when you look at how the Rams have built this team so successfully.
That's what I was going to add to Steve. You think the Rams have an idea what they're doing? Hell yeah. Dude, in the last 10 years, does it look like the Bucs have an idea what they're doing? Hell no.
All right.
You're talking about the best team, the reigning NFC champions.
Thank you.
With a banged up Gurley, and now a need for Henderson. Boom.
Like the Bucs don't have a need. Gurley would be the shining star of the running backs, even with an arthritic knee.
And, Steve, I don't want this podcast to go by us without me at least mentioning this, Lee. You know it sticks in my craw, not claw.
Not craw.
What is the position that Bruce Arians, and I'm not calling him BA. I'm not doing it. I'm calling him Bruce Arians. You don't like it, Bruce? Tough. Tell me to my face that you want to be called BA. What did Bruce Arians say? The first target area. The first target area.
Offensive line.
We need upgrades on the offensive line. Steve, they didn't draft anybody. And in free agency, they got Earl Watford. What am I missing here?
At second round, in the opposite next to you, second round, I thought, okay, they're going to get Cody Ford. And he went right before the Bucks. I thought they were going to get Cody Ford. I really
And there was a run, I think, on
online. Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Well, I almost understand that more than the than some of the other things that they did and didn't do.
Why? You think they'll pick people
well,
up?
Well, you can't
late
fill,
cuts.
You can't fill every position.
You can't fill every position.
I think, personally, I think corner was more important than O-line. Running back was more important than O-line.
I didn't expect three straight DBs, Lee. I didn't expect
that. I don't think anybody did. You could have won some money with a bet like that.
Three straight DBs, I didn't expect that.
All right, I got an important question for you, Ira. Ran a poll today. Today's Wednesday when we're recording this on Joe Bucks Fan. I didn't run this after the draft because I didn't want the emotional response.
How did you word the poll?
I wanted the more measured response after everybody got over their emotions, positive, negative, looked at the picks, looked around the league. You know, so here we go. The question was, for fans, now that you've had time to breathe and evaluate, grade the Bucks 2019 draft class. Now, the number one answer, 37% of fans, C. C grade. That's the number one answer. If you combine C, D, and F, okay, C, D, and F, Ira, comprises more than 70% of the votes.
Oh.
So, 7 out of 10 Bucks fans don't have a good feeling about this draft. Now, C, when it comes to a draft, means you don't feel that good about it. It's not like a dumb kid in school who gets straight Fs and gets a C is happy. We're talking about an NFL draft. So,
I think it's ominous, Lee, because I'll tell you why. Because when we do these polls about how many games are the Bucks going to win, you know what might win? 9. I mean, these are Buck fans. They tend to be optimistic.
Yeah.
And it's skewed optimistically. And what Steve just said, 70%, you add up the CDF, it's 70%. Only 30% is positive.
Yeah.
Because A and B are positive, and I'm not counting C, and neither are you.
Yeah.
That's a little ominous, Lee.
Well, I wrote this, I think, Monday or Tuesday on JoeBucksFan.com that you know, just the feedback I personally have received from Bucks fans, it's like universally depressed.
Guys, let me correct this real quick. Ira, 60% of Bucks fans, I'll take that out, 60% of Bucks fans, a little bit more, 61% or so, C, D, or F grade.
I think it's ominous, Lee, because you're dealing with a specific clientele here, Buck Nation. And when you guys are going to put up the poll this summer, how many wins are the Bucks going to get? I think 9's going to probably win the day because these are optimistic fans, as they should be.
Hopeful.
Hope reigns supreme in the NFL, as it should. 5 new freaking playoff teams every year.
Except this
for
one.
You know, for 12 years in a row or whatever
Except
it
this
is.
One.
And 60% are going with C, D, or F. Only 40% positive rating. Lee, that's got to be concerning.
Yeah, it is. Well, you know, I wrote this either Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember which. It was on JoeBucksFan.com. Pretty sure it was Monday. Just the feedback, personal feedback I've gotten, whether it be emails, texts, phone calls from Bucks fans, universally people are depressed about this. And that's only the
you
people.
You think a lot of it is centered on the first round or beyond, past Devin White?
Past, because there are people
I think it's past.
There are some people that like the Devin White pick, but overall they think that Jason Light splashed himself when he went to the bathroom. They just think it's awful.
I think it's a reflection of round two and beyond, Steve. That's my opinion.
Well, look, we did before the draft when it seemed very likely Devin White would be the pick. We asked fans, and it was split pretty much down the middle. You know, 50% wanted Devin White, 50% didn't. Now, it's hard to say. Maybe a lot of those fans didn't believe Josh Allen would be available.
Right.
It's unknown. Maybe Lee swayed his share of fans winning those arguments with you. We don't know.
Whoa, did you say winning? Whoa. We don't need to put a value on it.
What's that, winning?
I tried to slip that past you. It didn't work. Sage is
engaged in a conversation.
Sage is engaged. Yeah. To me, yes, it's about after the first round. No one would have complained, or I think there wouldn't be negativity surrounding Devin White and other, you know, insert who, whatever. But
now, if they picked the guy that, you know, if they would have picked the guy that the Raiders picked at four, and had he fallen to five and they picked him, we would understand it. Mm-hmm. We would understand.
Yeah, or Light would have pulled a Dave Gettleman.
And the kicker thing, I can't get past the kicker thing.
Steve, you can't get past it.
I'm just in stunned disbelief that these guys didn't think they could find a kicker on the market like every other team does. Look at Graham Gano in Carolina.
Don't you know?
He was a reject. I mean, most of these kickers around have. It just drives me bananas. You know,
Chiefs did after Santos got hurt. They found this guy Butker or something. The guy's very good. They just found him.
Wasn't there a guy in Chicago or San Diego? He went to FIU. He was right in the Bucks' backyard.
Yeah, he went to Cleveland. He went to Cleveland, and he had a tremendously successful season.
Yeah, he's in the Bucks' backyard.
Look at the kickers drafted last year. Maybe I'll bring out that data for next podcast. Look at the kickers drafted last year. There's a lesson in there, Ira. The Vikings drafted a kicker early last year, tried to fix their woes. You know what? They gave up on the guy in week two. Missed a kick. They freaked out. See you later.
Mike Zimmer's nonsense was lights out
for Chucky after that. Now, how much rope do you think they're going to give a rookie kicker here this year? Two games.
He's going to win the job. You know that.
You don't know that. I don't know.
So, I'll just say this, and I don't disagree with anything Steve's saying.
Wait. Can you imagine him not winning the job?
Yes.
Lee.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Can you imagine?
Absolutely.
Yes, I can imagine.
You mean getting cut before the opener?
Not getting cut, just not winning the job, period.
If he's not better, they're not going to keep him.
Yeah. I will. Believe it or not, I'm going to be positive here. Believe it or not. And it's about this draft. I don't know if it's positive, but it's a positive thinking. And I don't disagree with anything Steve's saying about this kicker. I'm not. But the outrage, it's like, come on. It's a fifth-round pick. It's a throwaway pick. And with Buck's history, and I'll give the guy credit.
It's because of Buck history.
It's laughable. I get that the same guy who drafted a second-round picker didn't learn from his past. It's amusing. It's humorous. That I get. I completely get that. I don't get the outrage. And I'm going to give the guy, because it's a fifth-round pick. Come on. It's a throwaway pick. And the reason why I say it's a throwaway pick, I'll give the guy credit. Greg Allman did research. This century, what the Bucks have done on a third-day draft, you could wipe your rear end with it. I mean, it's horrible. The Bucks, and this was Greg Allman's story on The Athletic, the Bucks have had better luck with undrafted free agents than they have with third-day draft picks. In this century, since 2001, I think, they have not re-signed a third-day draft pick to a second contract.
That spans a lot of general managers.
A lot of general managers?
McKay was here in 2001.
And a hell of a lot of players.
And then you go to Bruce Allen, and then you go to Dominic, and then you go to Light.
And this whole organization. Think about all the players drafted on the third day. None of them had gotten a second contract. But undrafted free agents did.